Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Permaculture Central Blog Talk Radio Show. And this is Tall Paul. I'm here with Joey D'Elia. Joey, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's a hot day in San Marcos for sure.
I like it hot.
Not me. But anyway, it's good for you, I guess.
Well, it's good for my sweet potatoes, too.
Ah, okay. Well, we could talk about sweet potatoes. Today's topic is called Permaculture, Food, Forest, Fun.
Oh, boy. Now, see, that's right. It is so much fun. And when you have the time to have fun, that's why you got to make the time. Got to figure out, plan it out. Whether it's not watching your favorite TV show anymore so you can have some food forest fun, then that may be what you should do.
Well, I'll say this. Watching you, Joey, and I've only known you about a year and a half or so, you know, you, when you're out there, that's when you're having your most fun, when you're out doing your permaculture stuff, especially in the food forest, because I think that it just, well, I mean, when I look at you, you're like a kid out there, and you're just like, it's a kind of like an imaginary playground, but it's for real. I mean, it's happening, and it's the potential, it's just growing, and every day we see new things, and I mean, I just cannot wait. I'm like a kid waiting for Christmas. I just cannot wait for, you know, these trees, what's going to happen next spring and 3 years from now and all the fruits there. And it's just totally exciting. For me, it's so much fun. It's better than Christmas. What do you think?
I definitely think so. And that it's the fact that you said that about how it is for me when I'm out there is something I was thinking about talking about tonight. And not talking about, totally talking about just how do you make a food forest or what, you know, how do you put things together. Not totally thinking about that, or not talking about that so much, but talking about my life and my relationship with trees and why the food forest is so fun for me and why I believe the food forest, when people are ready and they want to do it or they want to start creating little forest systems, that they're so fun for everybody. And so that's what I was thinking about talking about tonight in relationship to, you know, making, actually building one, and what are some of the principles and some of the ideas when you're creating these little forest systems.
I think, like, for me, we've all heard this story, but I think all have these dreams and goals and fantasies, perhaps, of, you know, what we'd like to have. And for me, a lot of it was for years and years and years of just thinking, oh, I want to have fruit trees. You know, is this some fantasy or dream? But in my dream, the biggest I could imagine for myself was maybe 5 or 6 trees. And I was never specific about it. I never really thought, well, gee, if I had 5 or 6 fruit trees, what could I grow? Or what would I grow? I just had this very generic thought. And it wasn't until I actually moved to a place where I could plant the trees when I started to become very specific. Now, a lot of people listening, they're already at a place where they can start planting fruit trees and this food forest that we're talking about. And I'm telling you, like, if you want to go to Europe, you can't just go to Europe. You have to have a specific, like, you have to take action steps to get there. You have to have a passport. In order to get a passport, you have to have a passport photo. You have to have a passport application. Until you have those things set up and you fill them out and turn them in, you can't go to Europe. So it's the same thing with the food forest. It's one thing to think about, oh, I want a food forest. But then you have to kind of step back and say, you know, why do I want a food forest, and what would I include in it? And for me, once I started looking at the concrete part, my dream went from 5 to 6 fruit trees, and I included other people. And that's why this show is so important, is that when there's someone like you, Joey, who's an expert and who, you know, you're planted a food forest, you can help us to expand our dreams and know what to include and different factors and things to think about. And we want to hear your story and how your own dream has grown. for me, once I had the land, I went to this nursery, which is in, you know, near where I live, called Exotica Fruit Nursery, and they have all this exotic fruit. And I went, I'd driven by it for years and years and years, but I never actually went in because I didn't have a place to plant these trees. I go in and I ask them, you know, is there anyone here that can come to my property and look to see what I can plant? Because I was so naive and I, you know, I knew some things about planting trees. I really felt like I needed an expert to help me. And I now know I really didn't, but because it was my own kind of insecurity regarding this stuff, because I grew up in the city. I had no exposure to growing food, and it was so foreign to me that I thought, well, you know, that's for someone else to do. So the owner of the nursery came to my house. He walked around. He says, well, you could plant this here. And, you know, he kept showing me and telling me the different types of fruit trees I could plant. And that very first order of fruit trees, I think I ordered 30. So my dream went from 5 to 30 overnight.
That was quick.
Oh, yeah. And but by the next year, I mean, literally, I was growing over 70 types of fruit trees on a very small urban property using different techniques like espalier, and which is where you grow trees on a fence. And but
heavy terracing. You were doing some really neat stuff with a steep slope. That was, cool.
Yeah, terracing and all these different techniques. So basically what I'm saying is you can take your dream, but until you start to get specific with it, you're really not going to get anywhere. And this topic of food forest fun, oh my gosh. I mean, can you imagine if you had your wildest dream was 5 or 6 trees, and then all of a sudden you had 30 different varieties of fruit, and then in the next year you were up to 70? I mean, fun.
That's for sure.
And I'm just one person, but part of that fun for me was being able to grow food, not just for me, but to be able to share. That is what my whole life, I love to share, I love to give and be generous, and to have all this fruit and this beautiful produce available, not just for me, but the abundance can flow over into your friends and family, your neighbors. That is fun. And then permaculture brought me into a whole new community. You know, there was on meetup.com this permaculture group in the, you know, it was a couple cities away from me. I'm like, well, I'm going to start getting involved. And I went to the meeting, and that's how I met Joey. And I thought I was having fun before meeting Joey. Now, oh my gosh. I mean, now I'm actually living at his demonstration site, the permaculture demonstration site in San Marcos, California. And literally, there is so much fun here. This morning, I walked out to water my little vegetable garden, and there was this baby, itty-bitty, teeny-tiny, itty-bitty lizard. It had to have been born, like, last night. And I took a video of it, but to me, that is so much fun because I'm aware of my environment. I'm spending time out in nature where before, when I was working a corporate job, I just didn't have time and I didn't make time for that kind of stuff. But to see life right in front of me, that is fun. And where I'm speaking right now, I can look out into this, you know, the food forest, and I can just see all this future incredibleness that's going to happen and is happening every single day. There's something new out there. And I'm just so excited. So can you top that? I don't think so.
No, I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to tell my neat little silly story about how I started out and why. Kind of a little bio, a little quick one, because some people have been like kind of getting in contact with me and asking kind of how I started or what I've been doing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of talk about that and because it totally leads into Food Forest Fun. So suburban life, grew up, went to high school, you know, did all that, decided not to go to college, and then decided I wanted to do something totally different. than the regular stuff. So I started studying wilderness survival and I started hiking. So then that opened my whole brain and body to the wilderness and to just like learning about nature, stuff I've never even dreamed about learning. And I started having so much fun just like in these forest systems in Southern California. So not in different kinds of forest, chaparral systems, all different kinds of stuff.
Don't worry about the dogs.
And then
keep talking.
So yeah, we just started doing all of that and looking, just going crazy out there and having lots of fun and studying all sorts of different things, learning about plants, learning about trees. And then I kept just doing that for many years and then went through a couple different kinds of jobs, different things, some of it art-related, some of it just like Candyman-related, and then kept studying wilderness survival and hiking and exploring, and then ended up becoming started working on a tree crew to prune trees. And I just was fortunate enough to end up working with a great mentor, this older gentleman who was just really gifted with taking care of trees and talking to me about how they grow and what they do and how to prune them and the biology and all the different mechanisms that they use to support themselves. And then I said, well, this is too much fun. I'm climbing in the trees, pruning them, you know, hauling around the brush, you know, and doing all sorts of cool stuff like that. Also learning to make my own business. Also, he was teaching me all the different techniques, and then I started studying about arboriculture and the study of trees, and began. Then I got a certification to become to be a ISA certified arborist, and then I've been studying to do get some other certifications. And that's been almost 10 years now of studying trees and pruning trees for so many years now, and seeing how they grow, seeing how they respond to all sorts of different environments, the built environment, which is really important because a lot of us live in these built environments where there's a lot of infrastructure, cements, parks, these types of things, and how trees grow in those systems and how they're affected. And as well as trees out in the open and even in heavily landscaped areas, which where people are installing forests, not any kind of food forests, sometimes. As time's been going, the landscape's been changing a little bit, the landscaped environment, now that they're trying to put a little more diversity of trees in the landscape. So some of the places I work at actually have some forest kind of systems being, growing, and there's different layers, and it's all purely aesthetic. They didn't do them because they were thinking how they function together, but just how they look. And now they're functioning like a forest. And that leads me into the fun, the really fun part for me. And I think it also is for people all over the place, is that the feeling that we all, or most of us get, whether when we were young, even when we're old, that we get when we go out into a forest. And so as when I found permaculture and I started studying even more, we started learning about food forestry, and there's another things called agroforestry and stuff like that. But the food forestry part was super attractive to me and sounded so fun because I've got all these forests or these trees that I take care of for work. But what about building a food forest, like is being done by many now? And thinking about it, because as an arborist, as a tree pruner, and I take care of trees, people are looking to me to lots of times to prune their trees or take care of their trees so that they, you know, are healthy and look natural, a natural type of pruning that we do. And that tree is going to give somebody a feeling. You know, they're going to look at it and they're going to get a feeling. And then the food forest and forests in general, when you go out into them, you get a feeling. And some people are just, it's a calming feeling. some people are just like energized by like everything that's going around on in them. The fact that you don't like take care of them, like natural forests, they just take care of themselves. And, you know, most of the time, unless we go around and like start beating them up, then we've got to go back maybe and take a little good, little care of what we've done to beat them up. But they create that feeling.
And just to say, like, so Joey's website is fruittreeforest.com. There's one or two videos there about him pruning some trees here on our property. Now, a lot of people complain that permaculture is messy, and, you know, that's one way of doing permaculture. It doesn't have to be that way. So you can put in these systems that are totally like a normal forest, and, you know, a lot of Jeff Lawton's videos are like that, and he just goes in there and chops and drops. But then you can also have a very beautiful, finely manicured forest if you want. And that one video, so that feeling you're talking about, Joey, when I was taking that video, this beautiful tree, I think it was a coral tree, I'm not sure, but one of them out there, I'm like, wow. I mean, it really brought that beautiful feeling in. So depending upon what you're into, you know, you can let nature take its course and put in these systems, pattern after nature, food forests. Or if you need to have it tailored, because like some of Joey's clients are very, very high-end, you know, people with large estates, they feel they need to have a manicured system put in. So you can have that too. And like last year out on the swale, I mean, my gosh, talk about beautiful. We had so many different beautiful, beautiful plants and trees. You know, yellows and purples and white flowers, and it was just so beautiful. So you don't have to sacrifice that. So go this feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun too. Is you putting in all those different elements, and that's what we're working on here in this Mediterranean climate. Is, you know, like Paul said, some of the places I work are pretty high end and things like that. But everybody enjoys plants with beautiful flowers and nice foliage and things like that. And I've been working with nitrogen fixers, predominantly nitrogen fixers that have all these beautiful aesthetic qualities. You know, they're fixing nitrogen, they're dropping tons of leaves, they're growing fast and working and developing like a, you know, some nice plants to work with that do all sorts of different things and hold a real beauty about them. So you can put those closer to the house and kind of design a more of a feel good looking also kind of forest system closer to your house. So we can meet everybody's needs. And the feeling part of the forest that we experience out in nature, where it's just a natural forest system and we feel that, well, that's the beauty. And I think that's for me, it's the funnest part of bringing the forest to your house, to where you live, or if you, or to your city or something, where you make something that you start to grow this forest and it starts to feel like it feels like you're going into a natural forest, because you're emulating the same patterns that are in nature and you're putting them in your forest at your house. Now you go out and you can start, I mean, sometimes they're young, but you can start to feel that forest. And then this is the funnest part for me. Now imagine the feeling you get in a forest, and you're creating it at your own house, and you put your favorite fruit trees in it. Now you have a forest feeling with fruit, juicy, sweet fruit growing everywhere around you.
It's kind of magical. Like, you don't know what's around this tree, what's around the next corner type thing. And as you're walking through, like, and you say, oh my gosh, there's a peach, there's a fig, there's, you know, it's very exciting.
Right. And then you just start building. Like, well, now, for instance, at our house with our food forest systems, Well, this is the fun part for me is that I keep moving through these different stages and putting in new plants and them not working and putting in other plants and seeing if they work and on pruning trees and plants and having fun and
explain that working bit. Working, not working.
Okay.
We understand that, but listeners might not understand.
Well, so I'll grow, I grow some nitrogen fixers. Maybe they're bushes or that. We'll get into the layers, but and I think they'll do good here, and they do good at one point in the season, but then they do horrible at another point in the season.
Yeah, like we found that the little bunny rabbits love the little tiny, you know, they love these trees when they're small, but if we plant them when they're a little bit bigger, then they just leave them alone.
Yeah, and we've been learning, the rabbits have been teaching us a lot about these little systems that we've been putting in and how much do we want to control the edge. Is like you can pretty much keep the rabbits out of an area. You just have to decide how much time you want to put into that. And is that the kind of system do you want to develop? You know, and at what stage do the rabbits eat what? And what plants aren't they eating? Like, so now we have an area where the rabbits, we kept a lot of them out, but they still get in. So we're just using that area as a place to plant this food forest area. Tons of little trees, seedlings, all sorts of stuff, and see what the rabbits do eat. And what they don't eat.
Exactly.
Because we're going to use that kind of data and that kind of experience in other areas. Because some areas you can't control the rabbits. So the way we've got to understand which plants we can put out in there that the rabbits don't really like. Or if we can put down enough seeds of one type of thing, enough of them survive to... like further that forest system to pioneer that forest system, so that's like super fun for me. I had to get over it. In the beginning, it was kind of disheartening to put a lot of work into putting plants out there and having the rabbits decimate the area, but it's really important because I would feel really bad if I did it and somebody was like actually paying me to do it.
Well, the other thing is like Jeff Lawton in his video, I'm not sure which one, but I think it's the Food Forest, he talked about overstacking. And he says, you put in this many thousand, and you probably know those numbers, but it sounds, what? There's that many trees in that little spot? And it's really because of things like rabbits. And he says, you know, certain trees will only last, you know, 5 years. Some will last 10, 30, 50, 100 years. And that's just part of this system that you're building.
Right, and you'll see in a mature forest lots of times too, like you'll go out and there'll be at a time in the season when there's like tons of seedlings of these trees.
Yep.
Well, you look and see like the floor is carpeted with seedlings.
Yep.
And you look at the trees next to the seedlings and the trees are massive and you're like, there's no way all these trees will fit in here. Well, they won't.
That's right.
Almost all those trees will die on the forest floor. Maybe one or two somewhere will grow up to reach maturity. Maybe. And things like that, when you're pioneering these forest systems, you put out so many seeds and so many plants, and it's not that all of them are going to survive. Now, that's the pioneering part of food forestry. And sometimes we're not totally pioneering these food forests. What we're looking to do in the beginning is have some fun at our house and start to understand what it is about the forest that makes us feel, or how can we recreate that feeling at our house. And so you got to look at how that forest is layered.
So that's part tell of, us that, about the layers, Joey.
Well, the layers of the forest are when you... Let's take a typical forest that has large overstory canopy trees. So they've got these large giant trees. They're really tall. And then they live for a long time. Old trees, big old trees. And then lower you've got some mid canopy trees. So in the mid canopy range there's trees. They don't live as long but they're just a different layer of the forest. And then you go down and you can have like a shrub layer where you, if you can imagine, that's like 4 to 5 feet. And then the mid canopy, let's say it's 15 to 30 or something. And then the overstory could be 40 to 80 feet. But what you end up, now you have those layers. And then you go down and you've got your bush, you got your little shrubs. And then you've got, now you start to have like herbaceous plants or little tiny bushes that aren't 5 feet tall. Maybe they're 2 feet, 3 feet tall. And that's another layer. And then you've got lots of times you have vines in there, and you have your climbers in there, and then you have ground covers, which kind of talks about sweet potatoes. But
well, that's what I was going to say. That's why I'm excited too. Sweet potatoes, hello. Talk about fun. They're one of the healthiest foods you can eat, and they are a ground cover, but they grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, they're easy to propagate. They're easy to grow. They like heat, and you can and they really good once they get established. They do a real good job at controlling the ground, like in the sense of a lot of weeds or things you may not want to have grow. Those sweet potatoes, once they take off, will smother many other things out and give you some kind of ground control. The sweet potatoes, another thing that's fun about sweet potatoes are they got a lot of calories.
Yep.
So they're going to keep you alive, and that's fun.
Another important thing here for us is that they, in any ground cover, is because they're covering the ground, they're cooling the soil, and they're preventing evaporation of water. Water is a key factor where we live because we don't have a lot of it. So if you can protect the soil, you're in effect harvesting more water and or preventing evaporation.
Right. So you and then
calories, really. I mean, that's a big thing, and we talked about that a little bit last episode. Is, you know, how are you going to grow your calories?
Yeah, and that's your fruit trees are your calories, and then you got your you got sweet potatoes, and then you've got. Part of the layers of those systems, too, is that sweet potato represents the ground cover, but it also represents a root yield layer of this forest. And so, your layers don't, when I say 80-foot overstory canopy trees, that's just to give you an effect of those giant forests. And we have some that are getting pretty tall here. We have a few different examples. We have like a 25-year-old type food forest with some big mature trees. We have a 2-year-old and like a 1-year-old food forest. The thing to say is the food forest is in the layers, not in the heights. So it fits is what I'm trying to say. The food forest fun can fit in your yard. You don't have to have a 60-foot overstory canopy tree. It's about the layers. And that's when we know we don't have limitations, then we can have some fun. So that when you want to approach something like building a food forest or even gardening, knowing that you don't have in a garden, for instance, you don't have to have everything in a straight row. Everything doesn't have to be in a box. Everything doesn't have to be in this one kind of soil. You don't have to plow it. You can do there's all sorts of different ways you can do it. And the same thing with the food forest fun is you can put it, it's about the layers. It's about the different diversity of plants and trees that you have in that food forest. Because when we're thinking about the layers too, they do a host of things. As well, that's what the forest does, is what we're really looking at, is like that's what nature does. So let us take that pattern and put it in there because it obviously works. The other thing, there's many considerations too that go in with that is, and there's different birds that live at different heights in the forest. when you put in different layers, you put in habitat for all sorts of different insects, birds, critters. Everything doesn't all live at one level. Like, so when you have a, say you planted a bunch of fruit trees, well, most of those fruit trees get about the same height. Some can get really, really tall, but most fruit trees are understory canopy trees. Unless, yeah, and so if you just have fruit trees, well, you've got a little forest of, you've got trees. You don't really technically have a forest, but you have fruit trees, and only something's going to live at one that height. And then if you start putting in some diversity and you add in some non, you can add in fruit trees that are taller than other fruit trees, and then you start getting more layers. Or you can add in trees that do specific things, nut trees, or you could do pioneering, like, nitrogen-fixing big trees. You can play with it. You can work it. The main idea is that there's the layers. That's what you're looking at, and trying to work in the diversity. Move away from monoculture, which is just having one type of plant or one type of tree, and bringing in diversity, and diversity in layers is a big deal too. And it does so many different things, and the more you learn about it, the more fun you start to have with those different systems. And I still can't, like, the going out every day into our little forest area, the different ones we have developed, it's just like I'm still learning, and still amazing to see how the different plants are interacting together and working together, and which ones kind of aren't. And it's okay to, like, have to say, well, I'm going to have to let this one go and change that situation. But it's just amazing to watch some of these things grow and to see how it starts working together. Because, I mean, in the past, I've never built a forest and looked at all the layers and started to mimic that natural forest system, and we're doing it. You know, there's the old ones already here on the property. It's kind of why we picked it when we were looking for a place to buy as a demonstration site. Somebody in the past, and we couldn't find out who the owner has been, who was the owner, and I asked all these old timers in our little area here, and nobody, it's like some kind of weird mystery. Nobody knows who really lived here, and but they have an old, it's like 25 years old. There's some old citrus and three different kinds of citrus, three different kinds, and then there's a pear tree and a pomegranate, and they're all mixed together, like, and a cork oak and stone fruits, and then nitrogen fixers. They have old nitrogen fixers in there, and then they have overstory canopy trees in there that are not nitrogen fixers, but the mid canopy trees that they planted were nitrogen fixers. And so there is an example of a old little food forest on the property, and you see how that one works. And just when we moved in, everything was overgrown, and some of the citrus tree, one of the citrus trees was so shaded out. And these citrus trees are probably like 12 feet tall. One of them's 15 feet. Was so shaded out, it had no leaves on it. I didn't even know what kind of citrus it was. And I went in there, and there happens to be a redwood planted in there. And we're in San Diego, California, so it's not the best redwood, you know, climate. But there's a big redwood in there, and it was shading. Everything was smashing down on the citrus tree, so I pruned all of the stuff off. Lit in this light, wintertime came, boom, fruit all over. It's a tangerine tree. And it was totally just like, just some more sun in there. You know, not too much. I kept the filtered shade in there, you know, to control, to help with evaporation and stuff. And That tree, those trees are doing great.
And it's amazing. I mean, the tree literally went from no leaves to a vibrant, very healthy green tree. All it needed was a little bit of light. And that's where, you know, like this pruning, you don't have to do it. But if you do it, you just kind of play with it. And that's another part of this fun. Like if, for me, you know, I had never pruned in my life. I had pruned roses. I used to grow flowers and things. And so for me, when I started to prune my fruit trees, I loved it because it was so neat. And I'd watch YouTube videos to learn about it. And there was some guy in Israel who was an expert, and he said, if you ever have any questions, you know, you can email me or whatever. So I did, and because I had a question about nectarines. What a very generous person. You know, he really answered my questions. But I love going out there. And so, again, you can have that forest feeling. And if you want it to look a certain way, and you can control the height of trees, so like fruit trees can get big. They don't need to be that big, though. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Joey?
Oh, yeah.
Keep it natural, or you could, if you wanted, control the height of the trees, the productive
right.
trees.
So like in this, the new part of the food forest that we built with like a swale and at least 60 different varieties of fruit trees in there. My goal was to really put them in, pack them in to about 7,000 square feet. And with all their accompanying nitrogen fixers, shrub layers, mid-canopy, overstory canopy, put them all together and keep it rather close to the house so I could, you know, pay a lot of, I wanted to go out there a lot. And in order to do that, I want to keep the fruit trees very small. No, I don't want them taller than I can reach to the top. So by doing that, I can keep them close together, and it doesn't take a lot of pruning. If you just do it every summer and winter, and especially when a tree's that size, it does not take a long time once you learn the method and you become efficient. It can be done very quickly, but that was what we were doing with those trees. Is we're keeping them at that height, and the fruit's a lot lower. It's a lot more fun for all of our kids.
And it's not going to cut back in productivity. I mean, because I've done the same technique at my house. Oh, my gosh, you get so much fruit. And you have to thin the fruit, really. But a very good example of this, if you go to YouTube, Dave Wilson Nursery. Dave Wilson Nursery channel. They show incredible pruning techniques. And when we think of orchards, I mean, at least when I do, you think of long rows of straight, you know, straight lines of trees, and they have wide rows between them. And what Dave Wilson Nursery explains is that is for commercial production, where they bring in the commercial trucks, the picking equipment. All that equipment needs to get in. The actual trees don't need that much space. So if you're keeping these trees, because you're not, unless you're going to be selling commercially, you don't need to have the trees so huge. You're still going to get probably the same amount of fruit, and it's manageable where you can pick it without special equipment. And also what they talk about is you can put three or four apple trees in one hole. You can have different varieties, and there's whole techniques about that as well. So I highly recommend the Dave Wilson Nursery YouTube channel. Watch those videos, and you can use those same techniques within your food forest at home.
Right, and you're going to obtain a yield like relative to the size of the tree. So
yeah.
If you have a big tree, then you're going to have and it's going to take more water, more fertilizer, you know, more inputs because it's bigger, and you're going to get bigger. You know, you're going to get more fruit because the thing is that much bigger.
But you know what? Is that true? Because, you know, I've been to like, you know, this certain local nursery, and they have what I would consider a food forest. And they have these enormous fruit trees and things, but there's not a whole lot of fruit. And it might be...
That has to do more with their cultural care, because there's going to be infinitely... I mean, there's going to be... If you have more surface area, you're going to have more flowers.
Okay.
So, I mean, the tangerine... Like, a good producing healthy tree. Like, the tangelo tree that we have here that's mature... That the size of it is it just produces an insane amount of tangelo.
Yeah.
Relative to its size, I mean, size, it's healthy. The real point is where you're putting it, and how many of each thing do you want? And that, like you said, commercial. You're going to bring in equipment to pick it. What kind of forest? Because see, this is one of the most fun parts of it too, is that you're creating this forest.
Yeah.
So you want big fruit trees? Well, then have big fruit trees.
Well,
make sure,
yeah,
plan accordingly.
And I want a lot of fruit. Because here's an example, is like at my house, the other house, I had one of my plum trees, and I can't remember the variety, but oh my gosh. I mean, this season I picked all these plums and I brought them over here, and we had 13 people living here at the time, 13 people. We had so many plums, 13 people couldn't even finish them on one small tree.
It's true. You can
one.
Really make a small tree can produce very heavily, and it's a lot easier to take care of, or you can bring in a lot. So, square footage wise, you can put a lot more diversity in with the smaller fruit trees, keeping them smaller, dwarfing them, or getting dwarf root stock, and just the pruning methods really is what the key part of it. And then plenty of space for your other canopy trees.
Yep.
The
canopy tree, the mid canopy, that would help you with your nitrogen fixing and, this building of the soil that we're talking about when you chop and drop and, this creates new mulch and leaf matter to build the soil. And when you chop and drop, then the nitrogen from the nodules, and we've talked about that before, but it goes into the soil. So, like, if you're thinking food, I don't think you need to think huge, huge trees. Now, you can. Like, nut trees get huge. Like, I hear pecans get enormous.
Oh, yeah. I've climbed some giant pecans.
Yeah. And so, but how many pecans can you eat?
How many pecans can you process?
Right. You need to get a pecan, sheller or something.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's all those different. There's some different things to think about for sure with that. And some of the things we've been doing here for fun is we'll put in a fruit tree, plant one, or and then we put in seeds
with
everything we plant now. If we dig a hole to plant something, and it's a bush that or a plant or a tree that we've already grown from seed, we put other seeds in there with it. Whatever they are, whether they're food, or whether they're nitrogen fixers, whether they're bushes, like squash, or we put there's also so many different kinds of plants, but we put those seeds in there with a lot of
as well sometimes
clover. What did we put in? Bees, peas, different kinds of nitrogen fixers, whether they're the Siberian pea shrubs. Sesbanias as a nitrogen fixer, and Crotalaria nitrogen fixer. Then all the seeds we find around town is my favorite. Well, my friend and I, Matt lives here with us. He's a woofer, and we were out the other day, and we started just looking for nitrogen fixers. And there's this one house by where we live that everything is seeding right now, and he just happens to have planted lots of nitrogen fixers. He's an older dude. I went and actually talked to him one day about stuff, but we filled up so many bags full of all sorts of seeds, and then I've been finding a bunch of mesquite trees everywhere now, like really looking out for them and getting those seeds, and now we started propagating mesquites,
And kind of what you're saying is important. Look around in your neighborhood and see what other people are growing, because you know it'll grow where you live. And, you know, you don't, that way you have a more hardy species. You know that it's has a good chance of growing. And a lot of people like Jeff Lawton and Paul Wheaton, you know, they talk about, and a lot of fruitarians and people that are vegetarians, they are totally into, you eat your apple and then you just plant your seeds, or your avocado or whatever it is, replant your seeds, because those trees from the seed will create a taproot. And if you're buying it from the store, that's something else you should look at on the Dave Wilson Nursery, how they process these trees, like to sell at the nurseries. Oh my gosh, the poor trees are totally traumatized. They come through with these huge trucks, and it's kind of like a, I don't even know how, like a potato peeler, but it's like skimming the earth and getting these trees out, and they just come up on a conveyor belt. Whereas if you plant a seed, an apple seed, I hear peaches and nectarines are very easy to grow from seed. They will go into the ground and have this beautiful root system that's natural. Now, they might not taste like they do in the grocery store, but they're good for your location where you're living. And if it doesn't taste good, you could remove the tree.
Or you can graft onto it.
Yeah, graft onto it.
And you've got like a nice root stock, because it's like grown, the root system's grown very naturally and found little pockets of water. And that root system usually from those seedlings are very stout.
Yeah, and I know I've heard of like apple trees with, I think I've heard even 100 varieties. But anyway, you can graft and graft and graft. And I don't know why you'd want to do that, other unless you're worried about space. But
or you're having food forest fun.
Bird. And yeah, if that's your hobby, go for it.
Then you're getting into a whole new little niche, and then you'll be able to share that niche with everybody else. If you're having that kind of success with grafting, then that'd be sweet. You come over here for sure and help me.
Yeah, like an example that I have at my other house right now, probably 50 varieties of fruit. And they're going to need to have to be pruned this winter. So we can take all those cuttings if we wanted and bring them over here. And we're going to, especially for the figs, I'm excited about
that.
That's
right.
But for all the different stone fruit, like the peaches and the nectarines, the plums, the, you know, different things like that, you can take those cuttings and put them, graft them onto our plants here. So you can expand the variety, or the varieties on these trees. It's very exciting. Now, I'm not a grafter. Joey does not have time for that. Maybe we can have Matt learn the trade.
Yeah. Somebody's got to learn it.
Yeah.
Do it better than I do. And then, I'm not.
See, Joey wants to do it all, and he can, but meaning he has the skills to eventually learn it if he doesn't know it already, but he doesn't have the time. I mean, there's so much. That's one thing that, you know, he's trying to learn, is I can only do so much in a day, and he gets the work done of 10 people.
we're trying. We're doing some stuff, and we're going to keep it going. And talking about this gets me all. Fortunately, it's dark right now, or else I
go out there and.
Yeah, I'm getting excited just to go out there and see what's grown. Oh, but I have to tell everybody else too. Okay, so we're having food forest fun right now, and that's the subject of what we're talking about. But we're actually, there's something else that's going on that's really fun that we just did.
Tell them.
So it's in
the forest. So.
It's down in the forest. There's a seasonal creek here, so the creek dries up in the summer here, San Marcos, down the San Diego area. But I said, well, I always wanted to. We haven't drilled an official well yet. We're still on city water, and so we've got a lot of water underground. I was like, I know we could dig and find it. I'm sure, because down in the creek area, it's still moist, and because it's such a beautiful little forest system down in the little creek area. So there was this one area in the winter that's always like soaking, like basically springing out water in the side of this bank. So my friend that's living here now, Matt, he I've been telling him, I'm thinking about digging a well, and he's like, let's dig a well. And I said, all right. And so he went down there, and I had shown him where I was thinking, and I come back, and he's like 4 feet.
Yeah.
Under, you know, got a 4 foot deep hole. It's like 5 feet wide, and he's down there digging, and what's so fun is it's bringing up like this pure, beautiful clay, like, and it's not stinky gray yucky clay or anything. It's this beautiful, like, silty nice clay. And so that's really, it was encouraging, because we want to do some little cob things with like some rocket mass heaters and stuff, and do some rocket stoves and do some different stuff. So now we have this great material to use, and he's like, oh, I can tell you, we're like a foot and a half more and we're going to hit water. And I was like, all right. Okay, cool. And so he kept digging. And then
In the meantime, I'm sitting in my trailer, you know, da-da-da. And they're having all this permaculture fun. And Joey comes like, at the end of the day, he's like, oh, did you see what Matt's been doing? I'm like, what? He's like, you got to see it. I go down there, and it's not only Matt now, but it's Matt and Raul, and then Joey's down there, and the dogs are down there, and they are having fun digging this well. And how deep do you think it is now? It is deep.
Well, it's only 7 feet deep, but we've got a foot and a half of water in the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's not salty.
Oh, did you try it?
Yeah, and it's clear. It clears up. Once the clay kind of settles out, it's very clear. And they actually dug down deep enough to where we bail all the water out with the buckets. And once you get all the water out, you can see right from the one uphill corner where there's like rock and stuff, water's just pouring out. It doesn't like seep up from the bottom. It's like pouring out the side. So that's a good sign. That means like it's coming downhill instead of flowing where the creek actually flows. It's coming from underground uphill.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be that uphill, like maybe 100 feet away, is this swale we put in. And that swale now for... it's its second winter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone through its second winter.
Oh, wait.
And
has it been its second?
Yeah.
It's going to be its second.
No. It went through one, and it went through the second one, because I put it in right when we moved in.
Oh, right.
And it filled up, and then now it filled up again this winter. So, I mean, like, tens of thousands of gallons of water have gone into the swale and soaked into the soil, basically above that creek and above where we're digging that well. And so, anyways, whether or not they're connected, they will be one day. But that well is going to get deeper, because I just told my one friend about it today at work, and one of my employees, or he's my friend, we've been working together for like 8 years now on our tree, for the little tree business that I have. And I told him we were hand digging a well, and he's like, oh, I'm coming over and helping. Because in Mexico, he, at his family's house, when he was younger, him and his brother dug a well like, I think it was like, yeah, like 30 feet deep.
What?
Yes. And they pounded through rock and everything, and they bucketed it all out, because that's what we've got to do now that it's getting so deep. We've got to take a pulley and a bucket and stuff and lower it down to keep taking the rock out. But Romeo's coming over, and him and Matt together, oh, my gosh. And Raul?
Well, also, what's neat is already at its current depth, they can already submerge themselves and feel all those minerals and the mud. You know, it's just... life-giving, really. I haven't personally done it, but you should have seen these guys after. I mean, they work so hard all day long. And at the end of the day, you know, when it was, they rinsed off, they were like on fire. They were so excited and like jazzed. You know, it's like being so close to the earth and the water, those elements. And then under this forest, because they're under a forest down there. I mean, it's life-giving, guys. I really think that if you haven't done it, you need to go and find a forest somewhere and spend some time, listen to the birds. You know, it's filled with life, and this is what we're talking about. We're building a forest, but the forest that we're building now is for food in it.
Yeah, that one. Then that's a whole nother subject that we were talking about when we're in there, down there working, because it's a little bit further away from the house. We don't go down there that often, but that is the next area we're super excited about. Is we're going to go start working in that creek system because the moisture is already there.
Yeah,
the overstory is already there. We're gonna, and there's already figs down in there that are wild, that are actually producing in there, growing all by themselves.
Have you tried them?
And, well, then, no, they're just like the first year. I mean, I didn't see fruit on them last year, but this
year they
have fruit on them. And so I think even Matt went down there today and started planting like squash and stuff in there.
Oh, my gosh.
So pretty soon, and he wants to build a little fort down there now where he's going to sleep. So with some kind of ropes and things. So the fun thing about that was that we're in Southern California. It's dry. It was August. There hasn't been rain for months. You know, we have a dry period. It's dry. We get condensation, though, but we don't get, you know, we got one summer rain, I think, so far, but we don't get any rain, and especially now in August. It just gets hotter. And we went and we actually found water underground by hand, and it makes me feel a little like, you know, there's a little more balance, you know, to my life.
Yeah. You know? Well, and what you mentioned, Matt, you know, and we were talking about fun and dreams and things like that. He said, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be like Robinson Crusoe and live in the treehouse and all this. And literally, so here he is. He's discovered this area on the land in this forest. And there's water, and he's going to build his dream fort. He's going to do it, you know. So this is where I'd like to encourage people at this point, because we only have 2 minutes left. What are your dreams? What are the things that you want for yourself and your family? If you don't plan for it, if you want to go to Europe, how are you going to get there? There's a process to getting there. How much time do you think you have to wait to get this stuff, to achieve your goals and dreams? Now's the time. Now. So figure out what you want and then learn, take steps to get to achieve that. And we're doing that here. And there's never a dull moment, ever. It is fun. Right, Joey?
Oh, my gosh. I'm too excited already.
These episodes first thing in the morning.
I think so.
And then, boy, you do the work of 10 people now. You do the work of 20 people.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're going for that. We're totally going to get
it. You're not
working
hard enough. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
It's really a lot of fun. So let's talk about, we're at the end here. So Joey's website is fruittreeforest.com. Please also go to permaculturecentral.com. That will be changing. We're going to be building it more in September and going forward. But that's really going to be, you know, something that I'm going to be working on a lot. AskTallPaul.com. Coming up, Lorraine Wong will be back with us. She's the artist who wrote about a book on the Chinese characters and the role of women in the calligraphy. But she's coming back to talk about Taoist healing, a chanting technique. And that'll be very interesting. And I believe that's next week. But anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. And please subscribe to the Blog Talk Radio channel for Ask Tall Paul. That way you can be notified of upcoming episodes. And you don't have to rely on other methods to hear about what's coming up. So if you could subscribe, that'd be great. Also, you can share this on your own websites and in Facebook. If you go to this episode page, there's an embed code, or you can click, you know, Facebook and the different types of things. We'd appreciate it if you spread the word. All right. Night, Joey.
Good night. Thank you, all of you, for listening.
Yep. See you next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.